A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and curse those who curse you. All the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you." Abram went as the Lord directed him. The word of the Lord.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
Upright is the word of the Lord, and all his works are trustworthy. He loves justice and right. Of the kindness of the Lord, the earth is full.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us who have put our hope in you.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to his own design and the grace bestowed us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now made manifest through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. From the shining cloud, the Father's voice is heard. This is my beloved Son, hear him. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise, and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
So when I was in high school, I loved to play basketball, and I suppose because I played so much, I started to get pretty good at basketball. So one summer, I was practicing with the team, and it was the first time in my life I ever had started lifting weights. And I discovered fairly quickly that my shoulder did not like lifting weights. I'd be doing the bench press, and then something in my shoulder would kind of pop. Right? It didn't hurt horribly, but I knew it wasn't good. So my mom brought me to the doctor, and the diagnosis at the time was tendonitis. And the doctor told me something that I'll never forget. He said, You're not going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Right? So the doctor actually was from, I think, Germany or Hungary or something. So he actually had this heavy accent. And I remember when the doctor told me that, I was mad at him. I was like, what is this guy telling me? Hey, what does he know? They've been telling me all my life, you can do anything you put your mind to. Right? If you just try hard enough, you can do anything. And so how dare this doctor try to discourage me and to shatter my dreams? Fast forward a few years, and I was still working at it, still trying, and my goal at the time was I want to dunk a 10-foot goal. And so, again, thinking if I just push myself hard enough, right, I can do it. I'll be able to jump as high as Michael Jordan if I just push myself hard enough. So I was training at the time with 20-pound weights on my ankles. One day, I'm getting ready to take my shower. I look down at my abdomen, and I see, what the heck is this? Bursted blood vessels, right, all in my abdomen from the weight, right, from not training myself properly. And I could hear that doctor once again, you're not going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? You're not going to be Michael Jordan. But I didn't want to accept those limitations. As growing up, they told me I could do anything, right? You could be anything. You just have to put your mind to it. And I know that the people who were telling me that as I was growing up were trying to encourage me. They were trying to be helpful. They were trying to motivate me so that I would push myself, so that I would strive for excellence. But I also realized now they weren't telling me the full truth. No matter how hard I pushed myself, I was never going to be able to jump as high as Michael Jordan. And I certainly was never going to become Arnold Schwarzenegger. In the physical life, in regards to our bodies, there are hard limits that limit how far we can actually go. But, and this is an important but, that truth, that reality doesn't translate over into the spiritual life. So let me explain what I mean. Sometimes a person comes in to talk with me and they say, well, Father, I'm trying, but I just have a weak faith. Right? I just have a weak faith. God didn't bless me like he blessed you. God didn't give me that strong faith that you have. I have a weak faith, and that's just the way it is. Just like you'll never be able to jump as high as Michael Jordan, I'll never have that faith that you have. But thanks be to God, my brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today that this isn't how faith works. Faith is not some quality that we're either born with a good, strong faith or we're stuck with a weak faith for the whole of our lives. Faith, we say, is a virtue. And a virtue is a good habit. In part, it's given to us, so we say infused in us, in baptism and in confirmation. But as that good habit, it's something that can grow. It can either grow within us throughout the course of our lives, and that's the hope, or it can diminish. It depends upon how we act, how we think. Take Abraham as an example, as we heard in our first reading today. He's called by God to make this radical act, to leave his homeland, what he knew, right, what was comfortable to him, and to go into this unknown place that God was calling him. All he has to go on in following this call is the promise that God gives him. He says, I will make of you a great nation. That's all he has, this promise of God. And he knew God through the faith that he had learned growing up, but he had to make this incredible act of trust, to believe God, to take him at his word. That's why the letter to the Hebrews states, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out, and this is the important part, not knowing where he was to go. He didn't have the full picture. He didn't get to see the end. All he has is a promise. St. Paul writes of him in his letter to the Romans, for what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He did not doubt God's promise in unbelief, rather, he was empowered by faith and gave glory to God. So Abraham is this great example to us of that radical faith that God calls us to have. Let's look at this gospel today. Right off the bat, we might think, well, it's no fair. They got to see Jesus transfigured, right? Of course they'd have a strong faith. They got to see. But who is an eyewitness to the transfiguration? Three people, Peter, James, and John. That's it. Nobody else got to see the transfiguration. Everybody else, just like us, heard about it through testimony, right? The account of those three who were there gets passed on throughout history. So for them who didn't see it, it was an act of faith. For us too, it's only by faith that we come to know Jesus and come to believe in Jesus. But this faith, my brothers and sisters, as I'm trying to say, it's not some fixed quantity that we received, either you have it or you don't. Faith is a virtue, and as such, it's something that can and should grow in us throughout the course of our lives. So what I'd like to do in this homily is to share with you just a few ideas of how we can help our faith to grow. St. Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you, it's the gift of God. As such, the very first step towards a stronger faith is actually to ask God to give us a stronger faith, because it is a gift from him. Lord, increase my faith. There's no magic formula, no particular words we have to ask, but just simply to ask. And by ask, I mean like really ask. Think of that parable of the widow and the judge in the Gospels. And what does the judge say? He says, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she come and strike me. Right? That's the kind of asking that God is telling us we need to have. Keep bothering him, right? Keep asking over and over again. So ask for that gift of faith, but do so with persistence. Do so with energy, right? Pray from the depths of your heart. Next, we have to study our faith. Long gone, if it ever really existed, is a Christian culture that just imparts the faith to us by osmosis. That's not happening out in the world as we live in it today. If anything, we live in a world now that is hostile to the faith. We live in a world that presents many things that are contrary to the faith and corrupts the faith. And so we have a Christian duty to increase our knowledge of the faith. Now, thanks be to God, there are a growing number of resources that are out there and available to us to help us in this, to learn the faith. We still have to sacrifice the time. We still have to put forth the effort to take advantage of those resources that are there. One of the scariest things, I think, in all of Scripture comes in Matthew chapter 7 when Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will inherit the kingdom of heaven, right? But only the one who does the will of my Father." And he says, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase here, he says, look, a lot of people are going to be shocked. They're going to say to Jesus, "Oh, come on, man, you know me, right? Remember? I mean, my mom got me baptized. I went to Mass on Christmas most of the time, right? When I was in a real difficult time, remember, I'm the one who asked you to help me?" But Jesus replies, "I never knew you. I never knew you." So we have to take ownership of our faith. We have to work hard to help our faith to grow. Jesus expects us to be a participant in this process. Like I said, we don't just receive this by osmosis. We have to actually strive to grow in our faith. But do we do that? Are we really making the effort to increase our faith? Last, we have to reject those things that have a tendency to erode away at our faith. And sadly, there's a lot out there in our culture that contradicts the faith. And so we do have to be extra vigilant. Right? What is it that we watch on TV? What is it that we listen to on the radio? What are we looking at on the internet? Right? The truth of the matter is all of those things affect us. And so we really have to discern, have we accepted anything or anyone into our lives that really is endangering our faith? Sometimes we like to pretend because we don't want to give things up. Oh, yeah, it doesn't really affect me. Right? I can look at all that stuff on TV. It's not really affecting me. But we might be playing a dangerous game with the devil. And that's somebody we never want to play games with. Right? Never a good idea. So may we truly be attentive then to those things that could potentially weaken our faith. And if we're aware of anything in our lives that we've let into the door, right, get rid of it. Cut it off. So as we receive our Lord in the Eucharist today, then, maybe we can ask the Lord for that gift. Lord, increase our faith. Strengthen my faith, Lord. And ask him as well to show us, are there any habits, Lord, or any things in my life that are eroding away at my faith? You know, I'm pretty sure that I'm never going to be able to dunk a 10-foot goal now, especially, you know, I'm over the hill, man. It's not going to happen. Right, but I can certainly be a saint. And this is true for every one of us here in this church today. Every one of us is called by God to be a saint. Every one of us in this church can be a saint. We just have to put forth the effort and cooperate with God's grace. So may the Lord strengthen us in this Eucharist to become those saints that he's called us to be.